There are lots of forms of renewable energy out there. Solar, wind, hydro, nuclear. But Snohomish County is investing in something different, a kind of renewable you may not have heard of before. It starts out in the fields of a local dairy farm. And Soundside producer Sarah Leibovitz takes it from here. At the Workhoven Dairy in Monroe, Washington, there sits a big concrete box.
It has water pipes inside of it that we use to circulate hot water to heat the tank. The manure and food waste we put in it is all kind of a liquid form, and it enters in one part of the tank and it just kind of pushes through till we get comes out the other end.
That box is an anaerobic digester, and Daryl Williams knows all about it. He's an environmental consultant for the Tulalip tribes, as well as a tribal member. And he's also the board president of Qualco Energy, which is a partnership between the tribes and Workhoven Dairy to run this digester.
We actually started planning for it back in 2001, I believe. Because it was something that, you know, the tribe thought would be useful to help reduce water pollution issues from farm runoff. And thought it could also help with the economics of farm operations. And, energy production was just a byproduct for us.
The digester's been up and running since 2008. And basically, it takes compost, manure, and food waste, and heats it up.
And by heating it, we just speed up the decomposition process. So it just breaks down everything inside quicker.
And when it breaks down, you get two things. A nutrient-rich liquid and methane gas. That nutrient-rich liquid goes back to the dairy farm to be used in place of fertilizer.
When a farmer spreads raw manure on their fields, it takes a year to a year and a half for the nutrients in the manure to convert to a form that the crops can use. And during that year to year and a half, with a lot of our farmland, we get multiple floods that can wash a lot of that manure into the rivers and, for our region, down into Puget Sound, where it's a big issue right now. But by running it through a digester, it converts those nutrients into a form that the crops can use immediately. And the farmer can apply that nutrient-rich liquid to his farm fields as needed and not have as much risk of those nutrients ending up in the river and Puget Sound.
And for Daryl and for Workhoven Dairy, this project is about that fertilizer. The nutrient-rich liquid this digester produces stops pollution in nearby rivers and saves the dairy money on buying fertilizer. That's become even more important this year, because a lot of the U.S.'s fertilizer comes from Ukraine. With the war cutting off access, fertilizer prices are near record levels. But the methane gas the digester creates also serves a purpose. It powers a generator, which creates energy. In other words, it's renewable, transforming waste that would otherwise go to the dump or onto a field and making something we need a whole lot of. And in 2014, Snohomish Public Utilities, or PUD, started buying that energy. Now they're going a step further.
They're taking over the power generation part, and they've installed a new generator and are just a few days away from being able to fire it up. Once they do, they'll own and operate the generator, and we'll just sell them the biogas to operate off of.
In fact, that new biofuel generator will start running next week and produce enough power for around 675 homes. The sale of that electricity to the county is what pays for the cost of the digester. And once the Tulalip tribes pay the final bill for the government bond that allowed them to build the digester, which is expected to happen in December, it'll be a fully closed system. When this project first started, all the way back as just an idea in 2001, it was meant to be a demonstration. A way to get other farms and dairies across the state interested in building and maintaining their own anaerobic digester. But so far, that hasn't really happened. Manure to electricity operations haven't caught on the way some advocates were hoping they would. Daryl says that right now, there are around 8 digesters the size of Qualco's in the state, and that reluctance to build more likely comes down to cost.
What really makes the economics work is the food waste we bring in. And many of the dairies are remote enough to where bringing in the food waste isn't that easy for them to be able to get. You know, we're in a large metropolitan area that has a lot of food waste, and they don't have to truck it very far to get it to our facility. for the remote areas, it costs too much to truck the food waste. We're also been working with a utility that's been willing to pay a little bit more for the energy to get the renewable energy credit. Some utilities, particularly in Eastern Washington, weren't willing to pay more for the electricity than what they pay Bonneville for electricity, which is some of the lowest rates in the country, and just cost more to run the generator than you make off the electricity.
So the food waste that also powers the biofuel generator is harder to get in some parts of the state. And if utilities aren't willing to pay dairies enough money for the electricity produced by the anaerobic digester to cover the cost to maintain it, for many dairy farms, the math doesn't work out. Investing in a biofuel generator isn't economically feasible. That means no cheap fertilizer, methane that could be captured continues to enter the atmosphere, and local municipal governments are missing out on a potential source of renewable energy, which is where the state comes in.
I'm Glenn Blackman, and I'm manager of the Energy Policy Office at the Washington Department of Commerce. The State Clean Energy Fund has a variety of grant programs. At the moment, we have grant opportunities for electrification of the transportation system, for installing solar and energy efficiency on public agency buildings. We've also got, in the near future, some grant opportunities for rural clean energy projects. Those will be coming in the fall.
In other words, the state has incentives that could help draw interest in creating more anaerobic digesters in parts of Washington. Over $76 million was allocated to the Clean Energy Fund through 2023. But Glenn says it's still hard for rural communities to venture into an energy production business that's dominated by fossil fuels.
The rural energy production, you know, has always had to compete against fossil fuels and the subsidies at the national level that go to the fossil fuel production. So it's always been a struggle for clean energy to compete. But we have seen it compete on a better basis more and more over the years. And the grant programs that we operate are never going to be big enough to completely solve that problem. But we do have other mechanisms besides the grants themselves that are going to make a really big difference for clean energy production, including dairy digesters and biogas. Under the clean fuel standard that the legislature adopted and that the Department of Ecology is putting into effect, if biogas is used in the transportation sector, it can be a source of revenue for the producers of it to get credits under that program.
To be successful, eventually anaerobic digesters need to pay for themselves, either through a combination of the sale of electricity and use of credits for clean fuel production, like in Snohomish, or through negating the rising cost of fertilizer on dairy farms. The Qualco anaerobic digester does pay for itself, but barely. And even just in the town of Monroe, the digester doesn't produce enough energy to power every home. So, are anaerobic digesters worth it? Or are there other alternatives we should be investing in when it comes to renewable energy in Washington? For answers, I turn to Jim Jensen. He's a senior bioenergy and alternative fuel specialist at the Washington State University Energy Program. They provide information and services to both state and private organizations. And Jim says that subsidies like clean fuel credits are vital to supporting biofuel generators.
The cost of producing renewable electricity with solar and wind has come down dramatically in the last 15 years. It has become the most cost-effective way of producing renewable electricity. In the case of a project like a biogas project, making electricity can be more cost-effective with these clean fuel incentives. If they can show that the electricity is being used in vehicles, then there's a very good chance that would be counted as a clean fuel credit. Another program that Washington passed was the Climate Commitment Act, That one provides a different kind of incentive for companies like natural gas suppliers or refiners or others who could use the biogas directly, perhaps. They're going to be under a regulation that requires them to reduce their carbon emissions over time. And if they can invest in projects like this, they can show a reduction in the carbon emissions. Methane, which is what the biogas is, that's what we're capturing on dairy farms, is we're keeping that methane out of the atmosphere. And that's on a short-term basis, that's 85 times more potent than carbon dioxide. So it's really important that we pay attention to where methane is generated and to really focus, put some focus on capturing that, making sure it's not going into the atmosphere. Capturing it on a dairy farm can be a really cost-effective way of doing that.
Right. So there are kind of multiple benefits of this program.
Absolutely. I think at one time we were counting, you know, upwards of 10 different kinds of benefits. One of the nice things about biogas in this kind of situation is that it's a consistent form of electricity. If you make electricity, it's producing electricity day and night, 24/7, which makes it a little different and makes it appealing to utilities somewhat. They call it a baseload kind of electricity. The other advantage that it has is it can be used as a gaseous or liquid fuel. So it doesn't have to be electricity. You could use it to substitute for natural gas. We can't make enough of it to substitute for all the gas that's used. So we still need to do things like electrify transportation, electrify our homes. But it's going to be, you know, one of many solutions to decarbonize our economy.
Yeah, and it seems like a pretty good one from everything you're saying. So I guess my question is, like, why isn't the state or federal government investing more heavily in this as a solution in that case? Like, why not
put more grants
or funding? Okay.
Oh, it's coming. Some of it's just coming. The new Inflation Reduction Act has got new tax credits for not just dairy digesters, which they've done in the past, but these tax credits are going to help to support projects at wastewater treatment facilities or wastewater recovery facilities, at these digesters that are created to do urban organics like food scrap and other kinds of organics. There's almost a $2 billion increase for the Rural Energy for America program, which helps to support digesters as well as other kinds of distributed energy resources in rural America. It's been really impressive in the other Washington that there's been some real strong bipartisan support for biogas development in agriculture and elsewhere. In Washington, they've got their Clean Energy Fund. If you've talked with Commerce, they probably talked about some of the grants available for digesters through their Clean Energy Fund, as well as they're standing up a new program that really focuses on rural Washington and providing rural energy solutions, of which the biogas or biomethane projects would be one. And then there's those other incentives from the Climate Commitment Act. There's going to be more money from the Climate Commitment Act. That's where a lot of the money came last session for the Move Ahead Washington transportation package. And that's just the first of many kinds of investments that they're going to make with the dollars coming in from that Cap and Invest program, they call it. There's going to be a lot more attention paid to this in the coming years. So the kind of project drought we've faced where there hasn't been enough support, you know, in the past decade, I think this decade coming forward, we're going to see a lot of activity. And I'm already seeing it. I've been hosting at the Energy Program a series of workshops about biogas and biomethane development in Washington. And the number of project developers who have been coming to the workshops to talk about the opportunities that they have. There's been a lot more activity in recent months and years than there has been.
Yeah. So based off of that activity, like I know Washington has carbon emission goals, like 45% reduced by 2030, 70% by 2040, 95% by 2050. Do you think with all of these new projects and all this new funding, are they going to reach those?
Not from biogas alone. It's one part of the whole tapestry of all the projects that are going to be needed in Washington state. You're going to see a lot more development of solar and wind around Washington. You're going to see probably some attention paid to some of the geothermal resources in Washington, more attention to offshore wind. And then all of that combined, there's going to be a lot of attention paid to battery storage to help provide the load management that utilities need to have the electricity available when their customers need it. Hydrogen is another way of storing energy, whether it's produced from biogas or from electricity resources like solar and wind. You're just going to see all kinds of new attention to clean forms and innovative forms of energy in Washington. It's going to go to transportation. Some of it's going to come to our homes. People will be putting on solar projects at their homes more. There are going to be a lot more electric vehicles. There's lots of resources from the federal government for electrifying school buses. Washington State is making big investments in transit, especially electrified transit. It's a really exciting time for people who've been working in this space. And if you're a young person just coming into the workforce, there's a lot of opportunity here.
So it's going to take more than just solar or wind or the kind of giant, you know, when you think of renewable energy, those are what you think of. It'll also take projects like these kind of smaller, more rural energy projects. These aren't just like a nice to have versus a need to have.
I'm a big supporter of distributing our energy resources so that we don't rely on one single generator. In the case of a biogas project like this, they often happen out in areas that are at the edge of the grid, so to speak. So projects like this, whether it's a digester on a farm or a solar project or wind project somewhere out there, really helps to make our grid more resilient. This is the other thing that you're going to see more of. We're going to modernize our electricity grid. We're going to make it more reliable. And these kinds of projects can be part of those solutions. You know, when it comes to dairies and dairy manure management, managing the organics in a wastewater treatment plant, or the food organics that we have, all of those can contribute to methane. And for that reason alone, we need to provide some focus on these kinds of technologies to capture and make better use of the methane that's caused naturally from these processes.
That was Soundside producer Sarah Leibovitz speaking to Jim Jensen, a senior bioenergy and alternative fuel specialist at Washington State University's energy program. And one last note on biofuels. Recently, the nonprofit Clean and Prosperous Washington reports that California has found that its support for dairy digesters has produced the most cost-effective greenhouse gas reductions in the state's cap-and-trade program. Here on Soundside, we'll continue to follow how the newly signed Inflation Reduction Act changes things for bioenergy and other renewables in Washington state.